How do people get started? Where do they get stuck? Does their family really follow along when they want to get organized? Wouldn't you love to peek behind the curtain and see how other people in the 100-day program are actually getting their home organized? Well, that's what we're going to be doing from now on the Wednesday new Organize 365 podcast. I would love to introduce you to your fellow Organize 365 members that are on this home organization journey with you. Let's see how they have gone from disorganized to organized.
Allison, welcome to the Organize 365 podcast.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here with you.
Yeah. So we were just talking before we started recording that you actually grew up in the Cincinnati area.
Yes.
And you don't live here now. I didn't grow up here, but I've been here a long time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in the Akron-Cleveland area. Northern part of the state. I've lived everywhere in Ohio, but always in Ohio.
It's a great state.
Yeah, I like it. So we did not meet in person. How did you first find me and Organize 365?
I've thought a lot about this. I'm pretty sure it's through Ultimate Bundles.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the resources you had on Ultimate Bundles was the organizing for ADHD.
Yes.
And I don't have that, but I was so desperate to get organized that I thought, well, maybe I have some of the symptoms. I read it and it helped.
Well, nobody has perfect executive function, right? Like nobody has zero ADHD and nobody has 100% ADHD. Like ADHD is how we classify the executive functioning portion of our brain. So yeah, everybody's going to get something out of that book, I think.
I agree.
Yeah.
It was a good book and it was very helpful.
Oh, thank you. So who lives in your house with you?
So I live with my husband. We've been married 22 years, and we have a son who's 17 and a daughter 14.
Okay, great. So both in high school?
Both in high school. My son is getting ready to go to college. He's filling out all of his forms to hopefully be accepted at one of the colleges that he wants to go to, and my daughter is in eighth grade.
Okay. Fun years. Like, different kind of energy and work than when they were younger. You know, like the younger years are just physically exhausting. But when you're running with two kids that are turning into their own adults, it's like mentally trying to keep up with what you want to make sure they learn before they leave your nest and what their passions and desires and what they want to do is like mental gymnastics.
Yes. Yes, it is. Well, and to add complication to that, my son had a freak accident when he was 14 and had a stroke and had an aneurysm and almost died, but he had a stent put in, but he had lost all the movement down the left side of his body. So there was a lot of rehabilitation that went along with that. So as he's applying to colleges, he has very good grades, but sort of an incomplete transcript because it happened in his freshman year.
Oh, wow. Has he made a full recovery?
He has.
Oh, what a blessing.
Yes, yeah. It is.
Wow. Well, he's got a lot of, you know, when you go through things like that, whatever they are, whatever our trials and tribulations are along our life, and you do have something that is significant, it really changes your perspective. So he probably has a much older perspective on life than most people his age do.
Yes, he does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What does he want to do?
I'm not quite sure. I know he has a lot of interest in languages, and he also has an interest in neuroscience, mostly because of what happened to him. And he has started a nonprofit called My Stroke Box that he gathers together items that comforted him when he was in the hospital to try to comfort others. I think he found that a very healing process because he got so tired of thinking about himself and rehabilitating himself that when he started to concentrate on helping others, it really was very good for his mental health.
Wow, that is amazing. What a dynamic guy.
He is a dynamic guy.
That is so cool.
And his younger sister helps too, I have to add that.
Yeah. I bet it really impacted her as well.
It did.
Yeah, because your whole family would have to come to a screeching halt and then reorganize around this huge trauma.
Right.
Yeah. Does she have any aspirations for her future related to having been through that?
I'm not sure. She's very much interested in mechanical engineering type. She likes making things.
Wow, how cool is that? Oh my goodness. Okay, so back to our regularly scheduled program. You know I tend to digress. Why did you decide to get organized? I know you saw the book that was in the Ultimate Bundles. What was it that made you move beyond that book into really getting organized?
I had not been terribly organized through my children's younger years. And my husband took another job, and it was rather unexpected. It was a very fast move. We weren't expecting to move. And all of a sudden, I had to be in a city 3 hours away from where our home was, the home that we had been living in for 14 years. I had not really decluttered in 14 years. So I was, the way that things happened, I had to pack everything, even all the clutter, and move it. And I arrived in this home. I had had a basement. Now I don't have a basement. With all these boxes filled up to the ceiling in the garage, and I realized I'm in a lot of trouble. I have got to figure out what to do here. And that's when I had just ordered the Ultimate Bundles, and I read your book, and I thought, maybe I can be successful. I'm not a very good declutterer, but maybe this can help me.
And so what was your first step? Yeah.
Started listening to your podcast.
Okay.
And that your podcast was a lifeline to me, because I didn't know anybody in the town that we moved to. I was away from family. I haven't lived near family in a long time, but I felt very alone. And my son was still, you know, in doing outpatient rehabilitation, and they were having to change schools. It was just a very difficult time, but I would listen to your podcast, and I got so that I'd listen to it multiple times throughout the day. And I thought, well, maybe if I listen to it enough, it'll just kind of, your words will soak in, and I'll be able to somehow figure out how to do this organizing that I need to do to get out of this mess that I'm in.
So when was this? How long ago was that?
So this was spring of 2018.
Okay, so almost March, 2 years ago.
Right.
2 years ago. Okay, so you were listening to the podcast for a long time. And then what was the first thing you did where you noticed that something was organized that hadn't been organized before?
I would say that it was, I started out in the kitchen with you, and I organized the utensil drawer. And I know it seems like a small thing, but once I reorganized that, I thought cooking was not as painful as it had been in the past.
And wow.
I like to just go in and look at the drawers. As I walk through the kitchen, I'd open them and I think, yes, this is great. I can do this.
And do you like to cook?
Not really.
Okay. All right. Good. We're on the same plan then. I thought, well, maybe you just really like it and now it's organized. No. Okay. Yeah. So we're on the same path with the next question I'm going to ask you as well. It's like, what happened since you started on this journey of getting organized that you didn't expect to happen?
I learned a few things. I learned that when you say that organization is done in incremental stages, that I didn't want it to be that way. I wanted it to happen immediately. And you know how you say that it's a muscle that you develop. Well, it turns out my muscle takes a lot longer to develop than other people's. And I was able to finally get my master closet done after about the fifth time that I really attempted it through the program and then a few weeks on my own. but it took longer than I thought. And I gave up on a number of occasions, and then I went back to it. And once I finally finished it, I had this aha moment where I realized that Lisa was so right, that it's a muscle and you have to keep working at it. You know, yeah. You don't just decide that you're going to be an Olympic gymnast just because you feel like it one day. It takes years of practice of training those muscles. And I just wanted to be an Olympic organizational person. It doesn't work that way. You have to really practice it, especially mm-hmm. if you don't have that talent to begin with. But the other thing that happened to me that I wasn't expecting was that I love listening to you talk about all the other things that you're interested in, and in addition to organizing. And somehow that led me into the idea that I was going to publish a book. So I went through the self-publishing school online and worked on writing my book, and now it's published. And every once in a while, I look back and I think, I really should have waited until I was completely finished organizing my house. But I keep wanting to follow along with sort of where you're going. And you kept talking about your book, and I thought, well, Lisa did a book. I think maybe I need to do a book.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I love this so much. First, let's go back to your master closet. Maybe I haven't articulated this enough, and maybe this needs to be a podcast episode, but for me to get my closet organized took me 3 times in 2012 for me to get it where it was like, okay. And then I have tweaked it along the way. So I'm actually going to grab an index card as we're sitting here, and I'm going to give you guys a podcast episode about how I did my master closet, because it was not a one and done. Even though I already was an organized person, it still took me so many times, because not only are you learning the skill of organizing, but you're trying to organize your own stuff. Like if you were organizing your daughter's closet or my closet, you could have done it faster than your own closet, because there's just so much mental clutter. So I'm going to write that down. We need to do a podcast episode about that. But now let's talk about the book. I did self-publishing school as well, Chandler Bolt's program, for my first 2 books.
Okay.
Yep, I totally did. And I did the level where you get a coach, you know, which is like double the price or whatever at the time. It's great. Like if you're going to self-publish, I think that the self-publishing school is a great program. And we do have an affiliate link. I'll have Mary find it for us, but I think it's a great program. Did you like it?
I did.
Yeah. It's really step by step. Yeah. Yeah. It's really good. And I am so excited that you did not wait for your house to be perfectly organized, because that's never going to happen. And you wrote a book. Allison, you wrote a book.
Yeah, but think about it. Think about the impact you've had on so many people. I mean, I would never have written this book if I hadn't listened to you.
That's amazing.
I can't believe it, but it's, you've been a lifeline for me, Lisa.
Oh, Allison. Okay, tell everybody, what is the name of your book?
The book is Rise Above the Middle, 12 High Impact Study Strategies to Academic Success in Middle School and Beyond.
Okay, I need to get this book for my kids. I'm so excited. And you can get it on Amazon?
And you can get it on Amazon.
Okay.
And it's I had always been interested in reading about the brain and how the brain mm-hmm. learns. But then after my son had his stroke, I did more reading. And as I was reading, I thought, gee, you know, these strategies are really great for my middle school student. But I know my middle school student is going to read the books that I'm reading. One of them is that's so good is Make It Stick. And I don't remember who that's by. I have it in the back here, actually. But it's, you know, adults are going to read that before children are. Mm-hmm. It's Make It Stick by Brown, Roediger, Roediger, and Dan McDaniel. And so I took some from there and some from other places and broke down the steps that they teach and applied it for middle school type level curriculum.
So this Rise Above the Middle book, it's written for a middle schooler to read it?
Well, as people have read it, they say they like it for high school, and even the parents like it. And I've had grandparents read it, and they like it. And so it's taking what neuroscience teaches us about how we learn and applying it to strategies to, so for instance, we learn better if we self-quiz and write down what it is. Like you were saying, you know, how writing is so important. Mm-hmm. And so it's a strategy on how to use flashcards that incorporate writing with it. Mm-hmm. And the whole idea that you could sit down and study your chapter in history by reading your notes and reading the chapter over a few times. But then when you do that, what happens is you think that you really know the material and you don't. So when it comes to the test, you sit down to take the test and you think, gee, I went over all this, I read it, but I can't come up with the answers for the test. And so they say that the best way to combat that is through self-quizzing. And they're just a number of different tips.
I'm going to get it. I'll know all of them. Okay, so here's another thing that I learned for me for taking quizzes and tests is because I have a photographic memory. So I can literally like memorize the page. And so I would take notes in different colored pens.
Oh.
Or if like, and this is terrible, if like I changed pens when I was making my flashcards, I would remember which flashcards were made with which pens more than the information on the flashcards. So I had to make sure that all my flashcards matched so that I would learn the information and not memorize the color. Did you run across anything like that?
No, but my son is just like that.
Okay.
So quizzing him when he was younger, it was terrible because he had the answers memorized. Like I would go through the back of the book and he would list the answer before I even said it.
Yeah. So that's why I had to go to flashcards, because if I did it on a paper, I could memorize the order of the paper. So I wouldn't learn the information.
Right.
So I had to go to flashcards because then it was like, no, this is the word, come up with the definition, or here's the definition, come up with the word. I had to take it out of the context in order to learn the information.
Right.
Is he a good jigsaw puzzle doer?
If he would, my daughter and I are the jigsaw puzzle people.
So when I would go to national jigsaw puzzle competitions with my grandmother when I was a teenager, I've been a nerd my entire life. Cause it was all like, you know, like people in their 40s to 80s and me. And we would stay at a PTL bed and breakfast and everything. I would talk to everybody. And there was someone there who had done an informal research poll. And they found that everyone who loves to do jigsaw puzzles also loves to read, but all readers do not like to do jigsaw puzzles in that cohort. Like we all love to read and do jigsaw puzzles. So if you like to do jigsaw puzzles, you likely also like to read. But if you like to read, it does not necessarily mean you like to do jigsaw puzzles. So I was just wondering if you can memorize, if you have that photographic memory, does that also mean you like to do jigsaw puzzles? And apparently not, because your son doesn't like to.
No, he's never really been too much into jigsaw puzzles.
And this is the kind of research I would do. If I had a research department, totally inconsequential, but anyway.
See, that's why I love to listen to you. And I think I would love to have a research department. Wouldn't that be great? I'm always looking at my kids and I think, if I had about 10 more of you, I could really do some research.
That's right. I know. So I was working with a coach and they said to me, like, in the future, what do you want to be known for? What do you want Organize 365 to do? And I said, I want us to do research studies about women in the home. Like, I don't care what woman and what home, but in general, we have no research on women at home and what actually helps them, and statistically being able to prove what I anecdotally already know to be true. And then we could take it to the media.
That would be wonderful.
And I want to get a PhD. Other than that, you know, just a few goals.
What would you do your PhD in?
Cognitive psychology.
Oh, wow.
With Jeff Epstein from Cincinnati Children's, who works with UC. Not that I, you know, have planned it at all.
No.
He has no idea who I am. But he's like on all my dream boards whenever I meet with a coach. It's all about Jeff. He has no idea who I am.
Well, he will.
He will someday. Oh my gosh. So I'm so I'm just so excited for you for having created that book. And now hopefully other people, like a lot of us listening, have middle school kids, and understanding how your brain works and how to get the most out of. So all of our brains work fantastically, perfectly, but the way we're supposed to produce in society favors some over others, right? And so the more we can understand how our brain works, the more we can pull out what we need to produce based on what situation we're in.
Right.
And I think that this book probably would help just about anybody understand their brain better, right?
I think so. And it also, what amazed me, and I put this in the book, is that the harder it is for you to recall information, the harder it is for you to learn something, the better. That you will, once you learn it, then you've really learned it. So it's not the fact that work is so hard and studying is so hard. It's just if you have the wrong strategy, then you're very frustrated. But if you have the right strategy that will really work with your brain, all that hard work that's required is much more rewarding.
You know what? I am listening to an Audible book right now that is saying the same thing. I'm going to pull up my library. It's called Smarter, Faster, Better.
Oh, I'll have to write that down.
By Charles Duhigg, Duhigg. Let's see if it's going to start playing. I knew it. It's called The Power of Habit. And it talks about, I think that's the one. I read so many books. It could be a different one. But I'm pretty sure that's the one. It's either that or The Infinite Game by Simon Sinek. Those are the two I'm reading right now. So one of those says exactly what you just said. The more we have to cognitively overcome or think about in order to learn the new skill, the more it sticks. So it must be that habit one, I'm pretty sure. And they were saying if it's too easy or just, you know, it's hard to get it to stick. I love when you hear the same things from different sources that pull it all together, which lets you know that that thing is true. It just matters on where you want to apply it.
Right.
Yeah. All right. You think we should get back to the regularly scheduled questions?
No. I don't know how you're going to edit.
Well, there's no editing.
An edit nightmare.
Allison, there's no editing. This is what the podcast is going to be. That's adorable that you think we edit things. We do not. Nothing is edited. That would take too much time. How am I going to have three podcasts a week if we're going to edit everything? No.
I don't know.
It's a conversation with girlfriends. That just rabbit trails, right?
Right.
All right, so we're going to get back to your house now.
Okay.
What do you think that you have more of now than before you started focusing on this organization path? Hopefully you have more space in your garage, but I don't know.
I do. I have more space in the garage. I have more peace of mind. Mm-hmm. I have, I spent probably the most enjoyable holiday season with my family, not as worried about all the mess and clutter, and we could actually sit in the living room and enjoy the tree. Mm-hmm. And there weren't clothes and bags and things piled up all around. So I would say you're right. Time, space, peace of mind.
And isn't it okay? So I also had the best holiday season I've ever had in 2019. Actually, all of 2019 was amazing for me, but the holidays were weird because I would be sitting in the living room with the family, with a coffee, sitting by the tree, and I would be sitting there thinking, am I sure there's nothing I'm supposed to be doing right now? Like, this seems, there should be something I'm supposed to be doing right now. Did you think that at all?
I did, as far as the house goes.
Yeah.
Food preparation, that seemed to go easier. I was a little stressed with the whole book situation because I launched in December, and I never should have launched in December. That was very stupid. But other than that, as far as the house went and the whole organization, and I think too, the fact that you've put together such a clear plan that it's there, it's in the notebook that you send us, and it's waiting for, you know, January. Sort of like I could take a break and know that it's covered and I don't have to worry about what comes next.
Yeah. So you're talking about the planner for the 100-day program.
Right.
So that's always like a juxtaposition for us because so many people join the 100-day program like from December 22nd until we start this year. We started on January 6th. And I watch the momentum inside of the Facebook group and people are so excited. And I'm in there all the time too. But I know there are people like you that are enjoying finally having a holidays where you're not trying to declutter like crazy so that you can make it through the next year. So we purposely start the first Monday after January 1st so that everybody gets back to work and back to their regularly scheduled programs and are back from holidays so that they can start the 100-day program together. But new people are like, I want to get going. I want to get started.
Right.
And so I jump in there and I'm like, do it. Like, you get the entire program when you sign up. It's not like it's dripped out to you. You jump in, do it. But I also tell people, just declutter. Just keep grabbing a black trash bag and doing a reverse Santa Claus thing and filling it up with everything and taking it out of your house until we actually start together. Because you're right, not starting on December 26th or January 1st gives us the time to really enjoy the whole winter break, whatever that looks like for us, before we jump into the 100-day program and put it into our regular everyday routine. So if you guys are like, oh, that makes sense. The year that you sign up December 22nd and you want to hit the ground running, knock yourself out. Next year, you're going to be so happy that we don't start on the 22nd because you'll be able to enjoy your holidays.
Right.
Yeah. So what do you have less of?
Less of? Probably clothes.
Less clothes.
Because I had done an exchange with my sister-in-law who has 9 children. And we've traded clothes back and forth through the years. And I got behind in sending them with the move. So I sent, I think, 3 big boxes of clothes out and got rid of a bunch of my clothes. But one, I would love a podcast on decluttering. I don't know why I have such a hard time decluttering. And I don't do well with this. If it gives you joy, keep it. And if it doesn't, get rid of it. Because
it all gives you joy.
Everything gives me joy. Yeah. Even receipts give me joy because I think, oh, we had such a nice time when we did that. I know, it's so pathetic, but I have a really hard time with decluttering.
Allison, do you work outside of the home?
No, not now.
Okay, so what I would say to that is when I was professionally organizing a woman, and she did work outside of the home, but she didn't when her kids were younger. She had a hard time getting rid of receipts. Everything brought her joy as well. She had 6 children. And what she said to me was, Lisa, when I look at that receipt and I think of that memory, it's like the validation of being a good stay-at-home mom. Like it's kind of like my resume. And when I'm throwing all that away, like I know I've done a good job. I know the kids are happy and healthy, all that stuff, but you're throwing away all the tangible manifestation of the work that I did. Like at work, you would have a resume and you would have completed projects and you would have all those things. And when I'm throwing those things away, even though we don't need them anymore, I'm throwing away the tangible representation of the good mom that I was in my job of being a stay-at-home mom. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, that makes that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Yes, I think that's exactly it. I have not been able to verbalize that. Thank you.
Yes.
So what did you tell her to do?
Well, we took all of her kids' schoolwork and we put them into school binders. And then once she saw that, I mean, she had over 100 totes and I turned them into 1 to 2 binders per child. And then she was able to get rid of all of the receipts and all that. It was a process. And, and she had gotten divorced along the way. And so she was really trying to validate herself in her new role as a single parent of 6 kids and having made a good choice in staying home with her kids. And how to tangibly represent that. I think a lot of what we hold on to is tangible representations of choices that we've made with our time and our money. And how do we take that memory into the future without the actual physical representation? So I think it's scrapbooks and notebooks and, you know, like journaling your history. Like if you have a receipt of like an awesome dinner that you guys had, it's then maybe even just making a small 8.5 by 11 album where you make, you know, things that we've done as a family, and one page is like family dinners. And maybe you have one picture and then you're like, over the years, Dad and I have really prioritized family dinners once a month. Some of our favorite memories are when we did date nights when you were kids and we hired babysitters for you because we realized it wasn't pleasurable for you to come out. And then when we started to teach you how to do the tip and, you know, all those kind of things, like, and just journaling that. And then everything related to family dinners, you'll easily let go of because the memory is saved for your kids for the future.
Great idea. Thank you.
I wrote down also, we need a podcast for this. This is so great. We're finding out so many things. I can't write and talk at the same time. All right. So we'll flesh that out onto any other actionable to-dos you need to give me, Allison. We're getting three podcasts out of this one podcast.
Yeah. Let's see.
No. Yeah. No, don't give me any more homework. You have my email address. You can email me. Everybody has my email address. You can all email me if you have podcast recommendations.
Okay.
So what do you wish that you had known sooner, or what is your next step in getting organized now?
I think that what I wish I had really known sooner, I mean, you said it, but it took a while for it to really sink in. And that is that organizing is developing a muscle. Mm-hmm. And I think I wouldn't have gotten so impatient with myself and really felt like I can't do this. There were so many times I just wanted to just give up and say, you know what? And there's so many times I wanted to call you and say, Lisa, you've got to come down here right now. I know you don't know me, but I'm in trouble. But I just kept going back, and I can really see it now where it is a muscle. And if you keep going, like you say, you're going to be successful.
But what did you do when you were like, I want to call Lisa? What did you do to keep going? Did you go in the Facebook group? Did you take a break? Did you watch another video?
I went into the garage and cried for a while. Aww. And looking at my boxes and saying, I know if she just came down, she would know exactly what to do. But I listened to more podcasts. I just kept listening to your podcast, and you were so upbeat that I could do the things that, see, I think that I'm not too disciplined. And so I get off track because I don't enjoy doing some of the activities.
Says the woman who published a book.
I know, but
I mean, do you see how that doesn't really make any sense? You publish a book. Do you know how many people say, I will publish a book and never do? You published one. You know how rare that is?
Well, but you published one, so I needed to publish one.
Okay, I want to see all the book babies that come out of Organize 365. I want to know all about all the book babies. You guys email me, send me your books. I want to see the book babies. This is awesome.
Well, it was a little bit, I have a hard time with doing dishes and I like laundry, but sometimes doing the laundry, and I did get my laundry room put together because you said that was a good hideaway, and that is a good hideaway. but somehow listening to you on a podcast while I'm doing these activities I don't enjoy doing, they become enjoyable. It's like, or I don't care what the activity is because I can, you know, you're so upbeat and I get to hear what you're saying. Wow. And I really enjoy that. So
it's like having a friend with you. It's like I came over and we're hanging out.
It is.
Because I know what you're talking about. People say it all the time. It's kind of weird when they say it about me, but I do. There are a couple podcasts that I turn on. I'm like, oh, I'm going to have coffee with so-and-so now. And I do my laundry and whatever while they're talking to me.
Right. Yeah. And it makes it so much better, doesn't it?
Yes.
You're not just doing it by yourself and I'm thinking of other things, and I'm not just thinking of, oh, I'm washing this dish for the 10th time today.
Yeah. I think it takes away the loneliness.
Yes. I think you're right. It does.
And I love that you said you went in the garage and cried. I'm not happy that you cried, but I'm glad that you articulated it, because I think that sometimes we skip over that piece. We're like, okay, what'd you do? What's the next step? I think you need to give yourself the time to be like, this sucks. Like, why isn't anybody helping me? There are like 800 boxes. Somebody needs to come help me with this. Right. Like, I'm never going to be done. Do you have boxes in your garage still?
Some. Okay. But they're mostly gone. But yeah, I do have a few, and my attic where I am right now is a bit of my hot mess room. I love that podcast. I love the hot mess. I've listened to that so many times and it's been very helpful.
Yeah. So. And you're in All Access. So you have the whole 28-day program, right? Yeah.
Right.
So you're in an attic. An attic is of the basement, garage, actual guest bedroom or attic. The attic is the hardest one to turn into a hot mess room if you have sloped ceilings. Do you have sloped ceilings? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you usually don't have temperature control, right?
Not too much. It's not too terrible, but
yeah. It's the hardest one because it is the least climate controlled and the least of a square room. It's like organizing a tent, which is why I love the HGX shelving, is because that shelving can be broken apart and only be two shelves high, which works under those eaves in an attic. It's lightweight, so it's easy to take up and down. It doesn't matter if it's super hot or super cold, that plastic is going to be just fine up there. So that's why I picked that shelving, is because it works in any space you want to organize as a storage area.
Okay, great.
Yeah, so that's next. You need, if you haven't done that,
no,
that's use that shelving for sure. It will revolutionize that space. Like, it will make it 10 times easier if you just get that shelving in the bins than using boxes or anything else. Because how are you stacking anything? Yeah.
Well, truthfully,
just go get the shelving. Just go get the shelving. You know, when is Home Depot going to realize how much shelving I'm selling?
I don't know, but now you're making me think, do you want to come down here?
Yeah.
I keep telling myself.
Fill out the book tour form and maybe I'll end up in your city on the book tour. That's all I have to say.
Oh, my city's too small for you to probably come by
I don't know.
Book tour. We don't have a bookstore.
Well, can you? That could be a problem.
That is a problem.
Okay, so what advice would you give to someone who is just starting out? Write a book. No, I'm just kidding.
probably two pieces of advice. Listen to the podcast and just listen over and over. Eventually, it's all of the information that's amazing. Just it sinks in. Plus, it gives you good company and you're very motivational. The other thing that I would say is really take it to heart that organization is developing a muscle, and that you're also how you stress that it's progress over perfection, that it's not going to be perfect right away. But if you keep at it step by step, you will get there.
Allison, it has been a pleasure laughing with you on the podcast.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
I've enjoyed all of our rabbit trails.
I can't believe you're not going to edit this out.
I'm not. And that's it. So if you want to sign up for the Wednesday podcast, it's unedited. Thank you, Allison.
Thank you, Lisa.
Are you loving these new podcasts? Oh my gosh, I could talk to you guys forever. And I love talking to you actually in person. If you have a story and you would love to share it on the podcast, just go to organize365.com/Wednesday to apply.